Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for agape. That is what, Father, you gave to us. Agape was broken in the life of your only begotten Son. Broken so it could be shed upon every one of us. How painful it must be for you, my Lord God Almighty, to feel the pain of your only Son having to suffer, to feel our passion, and to take sin upon Himself, sin that we have committed, sin that we have, Lord, since the day we were born, for we are born in wickedness. We came into this world, Lord, with all the lies and wicked spirit within us because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. But we know, Father, you have a purpose for that. And here we are, Father, you have called us. We have not chosen thee, but thou hast chosen us, Lord. And in choosing, Father, you predestined us. You glorified us. You do all that even before the foundation of the world. The most important thing, Lord, you want us to be conformed to the image of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We are here, Lord, today not by chance, but here, Lord, by an appointment that you have set aside a time for us together. The Lord, we might feel more of your presence, of your spirit, your strength, your love, your grace, your mercy, all that you are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Father. We can never, 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 ever thank you enough for all the blessings that you have given upon, the gifts that you have bestowed upon us, the life eternal that you have given us to. The world is blind to all these things, but only those whom you have predestined and chosen, your elect, will come to that light. And we are so privileged, Lord, we are so thankful, Father, for that gift. We thank you for that gift. Help us, Father, to be worthy of the gospel, worthy of the gift that you have given us, O Lord. And I pray, Father, as we come before you right now, to learn a little bit of thy word, and for those who are not here today, as usual, Father, I pray that you break the heart of all those lazy ones, Father, by speaking the truth. For many, Lord, are lazy to even get up from the house and come for a physical fellowship. This is true not only in this assembly, Father. It's everywhere around the world. Just after the pandemic, Lord, started, many have become lazy. I pray, Father, Lord, what you have spoken to me in the past weeks, Lord, I pray, and they that have a ear to hear what your Spirit says to the church. And I ask that, Lord, right now you break the will of life to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You all may be seated. All right, we are going to do a little recap because when Brother was here the last 2 weeks, we broke up our series on the contentment and joy. So let us go back. Let us go to the book of Philippians again, and we will read from verse 13. Sorry. Now, in this whole chapter 3, I think the most important chapter that I see in the book of Philippians is this chapter. Because that's why I have a whole lot of scribble notes and all the points I wrote in my Bible is so messed up. But when I look at it and study over again, I find it important what Paul is trying to get across to this new church. I mean, the church in Philippi is pretty new, a lot of young people there. And Paul, when he wrote this, and in his time, when he's He sees the condition of the church, because it was a young church, a lot of young people, and he knows that the people are facing persecution. And that's a lot of pain for him too, because he couldn't be there physically to help them, to encourage them, and being in prison, he sat down and wrote this epistle from the bottom of his heart. You know, Paul was such an apostle. When I meditate about this man, I see in him a man that has become haggard, hopeless, groaning, a lot of pain in his eyes and soul. But yet, in him, I see joy because of his trust in the Lord. The pain that he went through was not for himself, but because the pain was a result of what, like Christ did for us when he came. To suffer, to feel the passion, every one of us. And Paul was feeling the passion of the people whom he had thrown out the lifeline to bring them to the Lord, the gospel that he preached. And next moment he realized that these people who came to know the Lord, the life, suddenly would be facing persecution and death. And they were living in a time that wasn't a good time to live in. Now even today, many parts of the world, when you become a Christian, they want to kill you. They just hate, not because of you, they hate because of the name of Jesus Christ that you carry with you. And I could see the way that Paul expressed himself, and this is one of the books I love. Seeing the way he talks, and he don't hold back punches. He'll speak the truth. He'll warn the people. Like he did in the book, like he did when he wrote the book, or read his epistle to the Corinthians. And even when he wrote the book the epistle to Timothy. He always warned the believer regarding all those deceiver, the false prophet, the liars, the mutilators. Because he cares for them. And here in chapter 13, where we left off, remember I have to go back a little bit. Because there's so much in this chapter that I want to stir within you the awareness of the hour that we live in, even today. We may not live in the days of the early church like that, where there's so many that were put to death, persecuted so badly. But the hour is time for us to be aware of the soon coming of the Lord that Jesus talked about and gave us the signs in Matthew 24. And we are seeing those things fulfilled. Can we just ignore those things and say, I'm a Christian, you know, and that's about what we are? No. Paul here said in verse 30, you know, when he talked about being perfect, being moving forward to the maturity, let's read from verse 11, that's better. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection among the dead. Not as though I had already attained it, yet were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of the Lord. Now, Paul was talking about there is a resurrection. We all know there is a resurrection of the dead. Jesus talked about it. There will be a resurrection of those that will be resurrected to life. There will be those that are resurrected to damnation. And every one of us should be looking forward to the resurrection of life. What we call the first resurrection, some people call it. The second resurrection is that which is at great white throne judgment, where people will be judged according to their works, and then the book of life will be opened to see if their names is inside there. So Paul was talking about that, and here he's talking about an out resurrection among the dead. That there is a portion that were taken out of all those that will be resurrected. And Paul says, it's not that I already attained to the place already. I said, oh, I'm going to be there. I'm there already. No. Now, there are people in this entire message, they believe that because they believe in the message of Brother Branham, they already got the token. And they are assured of being in that bridegroom. They already seem that they already attained. Paul says, what he said then, in verse 13, not that though I have already attained, either was already perfected, I'm already matured, I'm already there, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that which I'm apprehended of Christ, that I may hold to that which Christ Jesus got a hold of me. What did Christ give us when we accept Christ as our personal Savior? And that we are truly born again. What is it that God, what is it that Christ has got a hold of us? Now, what did Jesus say? He said that those that the Father has given me, nobody can take it out of my hands, right? God got a hold of Christ. Christ got a hold of us. Now, we have an inheritance in the same, remember? Christ inherited in the same. What is our inheritance? The very precious name that God has given him. There's no name in heaven and earth among men that is given that we might be saved, except that name of Yeshua. The Christ. God has given him a name above every name in heaven and earth. And that name, Christ has given it to us. And with that name is eternal life. And with that life, what is the... That's there. The gift. With eternal life, there's all the gift that we have. What is that gift? Many. The promises of His Word. And many people say, oh yeah, I'm sorry, but Paul says, you know, they already attained. You know what? When we are getting up there, we all have a... What is that here? A crown of righteousness, right? I have it. Can you see? Yeah, I'll take it out and show it to you. Can you see? No, we don't have it yet. Paul is saying, I'm not attending to it. I already got it. We are still, he said, I'm pressing on. I'm going forward. But there are a lot of people saying, I'm okay, I got it. I know, I have this crown of life, I got righteousness. Look, we know the promise is real. But we don't just sit down and shake our leg, you know, or lie down on a lounge chair on a beach somewhere and say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I've got everything already. But pause it here. I'm apprehended of all that which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Christ got a hold of me, right? I'm going to push on to get a hold of what that Christ hold of me. Christ hold me, I'm going to hold that which He has given me. Don't let it get away. You know, sometimes what Jesus said is true. He said, nobody plucked them out of my hand. You know, the doctrine of once saved, always saved, eternal security. Some people don't believe it. You know, the Arminian doctrine that salvation can be lost. The covenant doctrine of eternal security, once saved, always saved. So, people say one side is so extreme, the other side is also extreme. But both sides have its truth. And that's, you know why you need the center of the road. Right? So, you say, oh, okay, I don't want you to get lost. Now, you see, the thing is this. When Christ chose us and took us in His hand, how can we be lost? It's not possible. He got a hold of us. That's what Paul said, He got a hold of us. Huh? So, we want to hold to that which have hold us, the gift that give on us, we want to take on it and hold to it. But, once salvation can be lost. What is true in a sense is that, when you turn away from Him, Hebrews chapter 6 says that, you have enjoyed all the heavenly blessings. Huh? Then what? It's spoiling. How can you come back to renew yourself again? You have spurned it, just like Esau. He knew the birthright that he had, but for the bowl of porridge, he sold it. On the other hand, Jacob was a smart man. He knew the value of the inheritance, and he seeked for it. He went forward to get a hold of it. And many Christians, many people just don't seem to really think serious of it. There's a point in the next verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Not that I already got it. Though it is there, it's promised to me. I have it in a sense, but I have not yet really feel it. No. We all believe that we are going to be raptured. Our body is going to be changed. Right? Can you say your body is changed already? No. Right? And you said, oh, because I've got the token, I've been a message. You think that is okay? The Bible warns us, we move from glory to glory. Huh? Christian life is not a bed of roses. You just sit at home and be happy, go to church, sing a few songs, give a tithe, and say, Lord, I love you. And then we forgot about throwing out the lifeline. And our life is not even reflecting the gospel. And that's what James, look, Paul wrote the book of Romans. Later on, James came around and said something else that was added. And that's what confuses people like Luther. Huh? Paul said about what is about salvation is by faith. Right? By grace of God. The gift of faith is given to you, not the works. Lest any man should boast. And here came James says, show me your faith and I show you my faith with my works. Of course, that's where the problem is. And Luther said, it's a straw gospel, straw epistle. But he couldn't understand. The word here is all about the manifestation. Oh, what Paul says is so true. You take apple seed, you plant it. You see a little sapling coming up, a sapling. Right? And when the wind blows, this fellow is whipping this way, whipping that way, as if he's going to die. That's a time of what you call trial, tribulation. And the sooner up, it gets stronger. The roots come small, right? Gets stronger and stronger and stronger with all that. Until one day when you see the apple tree putting on apples and you look at it, what would you see? Perfect. Because that's what you're looking for when you plant the apple tree. See, that's what you're looking for. Perfect. But what do you mean by perfect? Paul here talks about not the perfect one, the perfect in the sense of flawlessness, right? Or perfect in the sense that, yep, you plant something, you get something, you got a perfection. That is maturity. Raise up a child, whether like Hazel, Joseph, Elizabeth, when the small, you see how they walk. This morning I see how Elizabeth began to walk like that. And they grow up, and they get stronger when they grow up. And then when they mature into adult, and their life reflects something good, because you have raised that child the way that they should go, and you are happy and say, oh, perfect child. Right? Use the word. Normally people say, my child is a perfect child, right? You know, you say that, right? Yeah, we use the word perfect child means to say that he's behaving good or she's behaving good. But actually in a sense that maturity grows with the child. That's what Paul is talking about. Until we come to that place to where we see the reality of it. So Paul here says, I count on myself as already got a hold of it, but this one thing I do, getting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Don't keep on turning around and going back and just go back to what is basic. Now, this is, we take the case of the Egyptian. I mean, not the Egyptian. The children of Israel. They left Egypt under the ministry of Moses. Right? They saw all the miracles. And they were happy when Moses did them the last, important plague that night about the death angel that is coming, and to prevent the death angel coming into your home, to take the firstborn, take a lamb, slay it, apply the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And they did it. Wow, what a miracle. In Goshen that night, there were hardly any wailing, but over on the Egyptian side, there were a whole lot of crying, screaming. Yes, there might be some, his family of Israel that do not believe in it. There are probably someone here one day in the big whole land of Goshen. But in the other part of Egypt, there's a whole lot of wind the whole night. You imagine here in Singapore, let's say this is Goshen. And then over in Johor Bahru, that's where Egypt is. Now, if the whole night there's so many deaths of the firstborn, the grandfather, the son, or the firstborn child, or grandson, that is to say, everybody will, there will be a lot of noise in the home, right? There's a lot of crying. What's going on? They cry. You can hear all the noise. They left the night and walk out of Egypt. No sooner after that, Egyptians start chasing. What did they do? They murmur against Moses, right? Hey, you're bringing us out here to die. I think that we should go by it. It's better that we at least have a shelter in Goshen. We have a home in Goshen. We have land in Goshen. We have some food to eat there in Goshen. But here we are walking out here in the night. And the army is chasing us. So you see, the problem here is what it is. Paul said, getting those things which are behind, forget about what yesterday or day before. Just push forward. With our eyes, we focus on the problems of life. We will never overcome it. And that is very, very true. Let me say this here. When I saw you about what happened the week before Brother Andrew came, about this cutting pain that I had, it never come back now. Never come back. But of course, there are other trials. And I believe the Lord is doing it in His own time, in His own way. There is some kind of as I said, the rib here, where the tumor is, and sometimes you get a little dull pain here and there. But since the cutting pain went away, that increases that particular week. For 2 weeks, very uncomfortable. And there are other pain, of course, dull pain, there is another part of my body, you know, and as I said, due to the PEC solution issue, and got a lot of gas in there, and every night in the early morning at 3 a.m., you find it so uncomfortable, it's painful because it's trapped, like colicky pain. But the pain kind of subsides a little now, and so was that colicky pain, the gas thing. But in the last week, oh, I wasn't, because what the Lord told me to look forward to. You know, learning from what Paul said, don't look back. Leave everything behind and push forward. Hold to the promises of God. In the last week, you know, I have this oximeter. You know, oximeter? I use it almost every day just to check. And every time in the past when I check, you can see the beat is going 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, there is an irregular beat. I don't feel it, but the meat, that is testing. But the whole last week something happened. And I tested, and practically hardly any time, in fact, almost every day, I think, there was the earlier part, yes, the week before, yes, there was one or two skip beat. But then after a week later, there was no skip beat. There was no irregular beat. Normal. But now my heart seemed to be changing. I could feel the heart pump. Like it's very strong. It's a bit uncomfortable, you know, like the heart is getting stronger. You could feel it on your chest. And I tested it when it comes, you know, and then it's not irregular beat. You understand? It's just like sometimes you got a little bit shocked with your heart group. You understand that kind of beat? We've got a string. You know? But I'm not feeling any weaker. Yeah, unless, of course, I walk fast. Like now I'm speaking okay, I'm speaking loud. But after a while, I'll be, of course, you know, panning away because I become breathless. But I'm not looking back and say, oh, or anything like that, trying to figure that out. And this time you come, I just praise the Lord. I just thank the Lord for it, making me be more aware that what Paul here is saying is true. You know, press forward. I'm not arrived yet. I've got to press forward because God is still dealing with every one of us to bring us to the place of perfection, place of maturity, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Look at the Apostle Paul. He was following Christ in such a way. Huh? Well, look at, as Paul later on said, you be a follower of me as I am of Christ. Right? Follow me as I follow Christ. So he imitated Christ. Huh? I mean, we have not seen Christ. We have not seen Paul. But the work that Paul left behind, we can see the importance of it. The imitation of someone who lived a kind of life. Someone who is worthy, who has set the example that we want to copy that kind of a lifestyle. That kind of a character. You know, so as I said this, while I was praying that week before Brother Andrew Peary came, because of that cutting pain in the afternoon, you know, when I lay my hand on it and speak the word, and it never come back. And then in the evening and that night, I couldn't sleep, and I was just meditating and kneeling down in my bed. And talking to the Lord and about revival and all these things. I was talking about the revival that we are looking forward to, that Brother Bram talks about, you know, we need a revival for the bride. And well, Lord, he said, Lord, we're looking for the revival. You know, so when is coming? How would it come? How long will it take? How soon? It's been a long time. You know, Isaac Bradman was looking for, predicted, more or less, because what he was calculating, saying that perhaps 1977 will end everything. Huh? And the Lord then put in my heart such a strong impression, revival begins with you. I said, all right, you begin with me. And then, as I said, I meditated some more, and then all of a sudden, you were just thinking and just praying, meditating for the church, praying for the church. All of a sudden, pray for handling. What of all purpose on handling? No, there's no other name that came to my mind, nothing. No Sister Joyce, no Sister Elsie, or anybody else. I said, what is that? Just pray for her. And I did what I was told that Sunday, you almost, that sister, and then they say, she almost did not come. And if she went up, and I was kind of shocked because of a short time. And the two questions were just very specific. The Lord put in my heart, just ask the question. The answer is just yes, yes. That day when I asked her, are you in pain? Are you still in pain, right? She was saying, something like that. It could be any statement. But it's just simply yes. Yes, I was kind of stunned a little bit. Because in that meditation, that's the impression the Lord put on my heart, speaking to me, exactly what it was. And I don't know what was the reason why, what the Lord just called him up, and I told him to pray for her. And then I realized one thing when the Lord said, revival begins with you. I'm his servant. We are in me. Now I'm preaching the word. When will revival be? How will it begin? It begins with you. You. Every one of us, the message to me, revival begins with you. The Lord's message to every one of you is the Lord, the revival begins with you. I talked to Brother Pierre 2 days ago. I forgot, completely forgot to have a chat with him on text or personally. I didn't hear from him. There was no news, so I texted him. And it was in the morning after 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and he didn't answer the text. So later on, and 2 hours ago or something like that, he texted me. And I said, can we chat? So, okay, we're talking. He sounded everything just fine. Then he revealed to me that he almost died. And I didn't remember the time that he had when he had COVID. And COVID almost killed him. I know COVID has so much problem, huh? So to some people, when they get it really bad. Now, he told me about it again. I have a lot of pain, suffering, and almost died. And I was just hearing him, just listening to him, and he said, I died, Brilliant, I died. It's the only way he said he died. And in that he said, I found myself talking to Lord Jesus in the fire. And Lord Jesus told me that if you are not holy, nobody who is holy will not be able to go through the fire. And then we're talking about revival. I said, yes, look what the Lord is telling me. Revival. But he's talking about revival too. And later on, I asked his son, trying to recall, I said, your dad told me that he almost died, or he died, and then he was in the fire of the Lord. I just said to him, because I don't want to continue to talk too much, because he just said that he recovered, and he's alone in the house. He had food delivered to him as well. And a week before that, he told me that there were 7 believers, new believers, somebody that came to the room, to his home, and stayed with him, and more or less helped him and fellowship with him. He said, there was such a blessing, he told me. So I asked the son, and the son told me, when he had COVID, he had a stroke. But on the phone, when he talked to me, there was no slurring of the mouth, you know what I said? There was no slurring. The very normal. And he was nursing the home, the doctor came and visited the home, put on drips and whatever, oxygen and all that. And then he told me that there's a locum. I said, send me the lab result. When he sent me the lab result, a whole lot of them looked through. Sister Teresa and me were looked through because we were interested in what's the problem. And we found out, wow. His kidney, he has actual diabetes, he got gout. And he's almost at the verge of death, actually. And you know, what if the Lord give him that kind of experience? Hasn't he suffered enough? He said he went out to walk, sometimes he just, the leg just would not move. And he would just, you know, go down. And I was wondering, wow, here there is in Lebanon, as a little another group of believers, and yet new people are being converted, and they are going through a crisis. Here we are, and Brother Nice. And I talked with Brother Nice, he told me, yeah, Brother Nice, we are going through a lot of problems too. His own church. Not only that, his own church, but in Nigeria, the church, the associated churches, the minister that I know, they are all confused too. We are living in a world that is so messed up. In the Philippines, wow. It helps me for many years too. The thing that some of these young preachers, especially, preacher that I knew. Maybe at this time they might be in the 30s. That's about it. And they act that they are so knowledgeable, so spiritual, so revelated with them. The Word of God. Wow. And we see all this thing that is going on. And then we have, you know, things that happen. Brother Nunez passed away last week. So, and Brother David Kwong, a Chinese brother down in Mindanao. Oh, but again, what's happening to the minister, the fivefold ministry? One by one, they seem to be going away. So, Brother God, please don't go. Please don't go. You know one thing. I'm looking at what the Lord is doing. You know, in the midst of His people. Why He allowed someone to suffer, but not take him home? But why He would take someone in death so fast? Because, you know, we are living in a time that what Jesus spoke about, He's trusting His flow. And when He trusts His flow, He's going to trust His flow. Totally, the Bible says what? Completely. Not going to leave one chaff among all those grain. The chaff would have to be blown away by the wind as it began to win. We know it. You know, I believe that God wants perfection. He doesn't want what we call in our Singaporean language, half past six. Now, you know what? No, I don't want to know expression over the other country. Let me know, I'm Filipino, but I say hello, hello. Well, mixture, right? Yeah. No. God doesn't want a believer to be mentally, spiritually, emotionally, or half-half. Oh, maybe I'm this, I'm that, maybe this is true, maybe that is true. And you don't know what you're believing in. God wants to perfect His people to a place where they are matured and be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not, I mean, it'd be nice if we are just like the dying team. Right now, for example, you're 40 years old, you've got the gospel. Yes, Lord, I believe. You kneel down, you confess your sin, you repent, and you've got the Holy Spirit next month, pop, you die. So easy, right? If there's no trial for you, now look at the thief on the cross, there's no trial for him, right? Is it fair? Huh? That's God's grace for a dying thief. He could not live after that. But you see, we are living, but we have to want the truth. Are we going to be a thief, a living one, stealing from the Lord, and not doing what should be in a manifestation of His grace, the giver of the gospel? This is what the Lord told me on that. The week before Brother Andrew came, I said, I was meditating. He told me, go back and read that book. I'm going to write it down for you. It was a book that was given to me, as I said, by a New Zealand believer in 1974. It's a book, but it's 2-in-1 volume. The first one is called Prison to Praise. Prison to Praise. The other one is Power in Praise. The person, the author of this book is Merlin Carothers. He's a chaplain. But he should read the book. The only thing is this. You cannot get it free online. Sister Gratty wrote to me and told me, Brother God, the first one is made into a movie. And I found that it was in YouTube. That it was made into a movie. But what you see in the movie, there are a lot of missing things that was not. You can't show it as acting. The second one, Sister Gratty sent me a PDF file. And I thought it was complete PDF file. But it was only an abridged, more or less. Certain part was missing, certain chapter was missing. Because I was thinking only there's only a few chapter there, and when I want to read it, some paragraph was left out. You know. And these two books has been sold for I don't know how many millions of copies. It has been a blessing to so many people. Already in 1974, I still remember it, but the Lord said, go back and read it. Then I began to be more aware why the Lord wanted me to read it. Because you know, we know the scripture, but we have forgotten that actually to really go deep into it. You know, the verse is so simple that we all know. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yeah, we know it. All things work together for good. But the other part of scriptures and other places, rejoice evermore. Praise the Lord, right? Bring the sacrifice of praise. What is the sacrifice of praise? Into the house of the Lord, just into the house of the Lord. In all things, we must be thankful. In all things, we praise. But you know, most of the time, we just praise Him for the good thing. Right? I was so glad I was driving down the road and a car almost missed me. Praise the Lord for that. But if a car hits you and you've got a broken leg, what has happened to me, Lord? You know, the problem is that we always look on negative. We need time for good things, but with problems like this, we don't thank Him. And this man, Mullen Carruthers, gives you such a challenge. And it doesn't make sense, which is very true. He was a bad guy, got into trouble with the army. He was in prison. And the Lord dealt with him. And I laugh at some of the things that happened to him. Huh? He doesn't want to go to church. His grandfather, he visited his grandfather, and his grandfather said, okay, today Sunday, let's go to church. He said, no, I have a short appointment with my friend. So he couldn't contact his friend. So in the morning, the grandfather and grandma are leaving. He says, what are you going to do? Oh, I couldn't contact my friend. Okay, then grandfather said, let's go to church. And he went. Of course, the grandfather was praying secretly. Not for him, rather for himself. He was a smoker. And he had smoking. And his grandfather was telling him, the Lord, if you would convert my grandson, I will stop smoking. And then day when they went to church, Mullen Carruthers gave his heart to the Lord, his father, the grandfather. You know, he had to give his word and he stopped speaking. The event that happened to him became a blessing to many people. You know, he is telling people to praise the Lord. Even when a child is sick. Even when you're in trouble. All things work together. But you know, it's kind of hard. When you are down and out, oh, thank God for the cancer. Can you thank God for the cancer? Can you not? Come on. If you have cancer, if you have some problem in life, thank God for the cancer. He said, just thank God for the cancer and see what happened to you. He said, with the heart you thank the Lord, but I never really express it the way I want to. You don't have to thank God in front of people. When you are alone, just praise the Lord for whatever happened. Because God dwelt in the praise of His people. That's what the Bible says. And we know the scripture so much that we don't act upon it. You know what I mean? Or maybe because kind of sounds silly. I'm sick. Thank God I'm sick. I got cancer. Thank God Lord for this cancer. Thank God I got television. I got TB. I got diabetes. Doesn't make sense, right? But you see, that's not what happened was that he wrote a thicker book called Power in Praise. Because of the experience went through. You know. And so that's why the Lord told me, go back and read it again. And then become more aware how true that really is. Yes, when you get some kind of sickness, you pray, say, Lord, touch me, I thank you for your goodness and all that. But we never really say, thank you, Lord. And when he referred me to go back this book, then I realized what God was trying to tell me. I went back and read it, some preachers, I realized what the Lord had done. So I said, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, whatever you put in me, I thank you, you've got a purpose in it. You know, that is true. And you know one thing? It affected Sister Tracy. You know, and somebody told me, said, Brother, whatever God is dealing with you must affect you. I said, yeah. You know, and this morning when she got up, something happened to her. She had she came up very weak. I said, what happened? I come here in the morning, I couldn't sleep the whole early morning, I couldn't sleep. I had this bad tummy, I came out and got diarrhea, and she was so weak. And I prayed with her. You know, and the Lord has a way of dealing with us. So when she heard that I had cancer the beginning of the time, right, last few months ago, she came to my room and she started crying. And she was not, she was thinking, the Lord take it away. I'm alone and I don't know how to help Zoel. You know, still mother's love, you know what I mean? I don't know how to care for him alone. I told her, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I just set the time when I came back from the hospital with news. I said, I'm not going anywhere. You know? And afterwards, it come down a little bit. We are all affected by bad news. And we don't like bad news. No matter what. We all love the good news. Yes. Huh? And I think your sister Nancy, when he hears your daughter Christabel pregnant, right? You're happy, right? We're going to be a grandpa, going to be a grandpa. And then when the child is born, oh, you know, we love that. Yeah, I mean, it's very natural. Well, I really want to thank God for that. Because the way that God dealt with this fellowship of ours, judgment began in the house of the Lord. Always. Now today we look, now when you say this, some believers are not here today. I don't know where they are. I know that Carmen, Zoe and Adam, they are on vacation. They flew up yesterday for 2 weeks vacation. But I don't know whether the rest are not here today, are on vacation or not, or they are really sick. I said it's very true. We come to a place if we don't want to push forward, as Paul said. Leave everything we have. I come to the church the last several months with my condition. And yet I will take the pulpit. I thought that I would not be able to, because when I sing, after a song or two, I feel breathless, and I couldn't sing. So when I come here, I feel very breathless. I thought that I might not be able to preach long. But yet I told the Lord, I want to be at my post of duty. Give me the strength. And so the brother overseas would look at me and say, oh, Sadikan, you look like nothing happened. You look preaching like you normally do. Where did I get my strength? Even now, just now when I first started, I started to have hard breathing. Very hard to breathe. I mean, I felt out of breath a little bit. But now I'm okay. You see, the strength of the Lord comes upon me. It's not, I cannot, you know, I cannot really have the strength. If I really don't have the strength, I should be right now. But I'm not. But at home, when I go for a walk, I just try to walk a little faster. After about 200 meters, I will have to slow down. Because I don't need any anointing at that time. You see, God works in a way that we need to trust Him. Revival begins with you. Yeah, you can say, me, Lord. Yes. Because that's the message to the church, individual. God was speaking to me directly about myself. Don't look around. Don't look around and say, what is the brother and sister not being alive, not really rejoicing in the Lord? No, I was telling the Lord many times in the past, when we were worshipping the Lord, I hardly see people lift up their hand. Right? I hardly see. Why are we not lifting up our hands? The Bible said, we lift our holy hands. Why are we not lifting our holy hands? Is it your hand is too heavy that you can't lift it up and rejoice in the Lord? And I believe that even Sister Lucy came, just the one hand. You don't have to lift both hands, you don't want to. Freely, just worship the Lord. You don't want to worry about what people are thinking of you. Be free to worship the Lord. What you think is one thing. What you say is another thing. Let's continue. So verse 40. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. You know what it means to press forward? I keep going, pushing myself, not holding back. Whatever is preventing me, I push forward. Mm-hmm. You know, in great Singapore sales, how do people kill? Huh? People go out there and kill even before like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. to get, you know, to be the first to get it. And in downtime, in the past, when there's no proper orderliness of killing, people push to the door. That's because they want to get what they want. The prize of the sales. But here Paul said that, I press forward to the mark to finish it, to get it for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus. We have a high calling, and that high calling is not just eternal life, but what God has in store for us. Being conformed to the image of His Son, all that which God has given to Christ, when He got a hold of us, Christ wants to give it to us all. Remember the virtue, what God has shown us in Christ is given to everyone. Right? We have it. But sometimes we don't show. We don't expect. I mean, we don't manifest. You see, besides that, there's so many other things. Sitting with Him on the right hand, Christ says, come on, rise up and sit by me. As Christ sits upon the Father's throne, we will sit with Him in His throne. Right? Not that we go out and say, Jesus, my Lord, please move aside, let me sit. No. Sit down with Him in His throne, in that royalty, in that position as a wife on His right hand side. Think about it. The Lord Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, we are sitting on the right hand of Christ. The crown of life, crown of righteousness, fine linen, clean and white, that's what we have also. Everything that Christ is now, we will be when we come to that place. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any things be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, when Paul said that, you know, he knows that there are people in the church that have not the same mind. It's just that today, look at what happened to our fellowship over the years. People you once know no longer are around. Right? And there are those who think that they know what they actually do not know. And in part, what they do not actually know when they talk, they think that they know. And this thing is what is going on around the world. Now I'm not talking about the denominational churches. The Pope is very active in all the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches gathering, you know that? Very active. So they all just do away with their doctrine, you know. After all, as I said, the motto of the World Council of Churches is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. They're not just getting those who call themselves Christian churches, but they are getting all the other religious body together. So that's why they had nothing to do with Scripture. The motto itself, since the day that the inception in 1948 in Uppsala, Sweden. What was their motto? Fatherhood of God. Does it mention anything about the Bible? No. Brotherhood of man. We are all brothers. Whatever religion you have, we are all brothers. We have God, yes.
And yet some of those religions that are coming in have nothing to do with God even. Right?
There are people who do that.
But in the end time message, God is interested in the truth that He gave to us, gave to His people. He wants the people to be getting out of the darkness, religious darkness, into His world, and be separated from all that darkness. And I said this, God meant what He said, and said what He meant. Right? When He said it, He meant it. And He's going to get it done. One way or another. And that's why He sent His minister, the watchman, on the wall. When enemy come, He warns the watchman warns the people. We need to understand. We need to know who those able ministers of God really are. But here in the end time, what a mess that we have. Huh? Paul here therefore says to them, as many, even in the Philippine church, there are young people, there are elderly people, there are those who have been around for a couple of years and more mature. And he said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, be tough minded that we should, you know, be in agreement and act like we can respect one another, and because we are mature in the word, know the word. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto them. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Right? We walk by the same rule, mind the same thing. What's this rule? The Word of God is our guide. When I'm going to prove anything, you have to prove by the Word of God. That's the rule, one of the basic rules. You cannot walk the way you want according to your own whims and fancy, your own rules and regulations. Every church, when you come to worship, some people spend 1 hour singing. They spend half an hour preaching. And then they spend another 1 hour singing. And then they go home. They want to have that kind of a program. Some people love to sing. And the preacher says, oh, but the pastor says, okay, half an hour is good enough. Yeah. But that's not fast and fix you. But the most important, when we come to church, one, fellowship. If you come to church, say, I want to go to church and fellowship. But your attitude is, you're thinking, I'm going to see the brother, I don't like him. I'm going to see the sister, I don't like him. Then stay home. Don't come. Because your heart is not right with God in the first place. Am I not right? If your heart is not right with God in the first place, how can you ever fellowship with a brother and sister? How can you ever worship God? That's what the second part is. You come here to worship God, but your fellowship with the other brother and sister, but your mind is feeling about the brother and sister to whom you don't like. Oh yeah. Then how are you able to sit on the third step where you can sit down and hear the word of God? Oh yes, I can hear the word of God. Okay. Ah, brother God, someone today is for the sister, the brother. Good, good, good. Oh, he's speaking about me today. I know he's speaking about me. I don't like it. You see, that's the problem with people. They go to the church, they criticize. Our life revival starts with you. Not with the brother whom you don't like, not with the sister whom you don't like. Wake up! So we walk by the same rule, we mind the same thing, and those who are not mature, whose mind is not there, well, just wait. Now I used to say, if you don't understand a lot of things, you see, either believer doing something that you think may be not right, but every person be doing it, you don't understand it. Just put it on the side. Because you know, I believe God is teaching people. Every one of us will learn in a different pace. And that's why I told the brother, the preacher over in Nigeria, one of those very self-important person. When he was preaching against Father Tom, I mean, I was in the church for many, many times when I was there in Nigeria. And then what happened? He turned around because of this doctrine of the chief apostles and all that stuff. He started to preach against me because the chief apostle was preaching against me that the sin of Ham was not really what it was, not incest. But the hand saw the nakedness of his father and ogled his nakedness and then make fun to his brother. And that's when I got a phone call from one of his believers. He said, again, my pastor is now preaching against God. I got concern for him and I called him. You know. But I don't want to talk about the sin of him. Because of the spirit of the chief apostle. I said, brother, do you know this doctrine about the chief apostle is not true? I heard that you are into it. No, really again. I was just looking into the container, maybe there's something in it. I said, no, brother, that doctrine is not true. And he was following Amos. Later on, what happened? Okay, I put it down. And then a few months later and so on, Brother Nice coming on the phone. Brother, yeah, please. We have a lot of church getting all in a mess with this chief apostle, lead apostle, Amos nonsense. Please, can you do something? I said, do what? I've been there some of these churches already. They saw Nathan. He said, write something. When I hang up the phone, the Lord put on the first one in my heart. Really good. Sometimes the Lord spoke in a very strange way. Really good. And I just sat down, opened up my windward, typed really good, and I sat down to think. Wow, that's a lot of work to do. So I took all the books of that Amos and all, you know, where he sent to me. Look to what he teaches, what he quote of the chief apostle, and what our chief apostle know over the years. So I wrote the book really good in less than 2 months, I think. One of the fastest messages I have written. Have it printed and sent it to Bernays. And the book was sent out and given out in the ministry media or something. When I said, Brother Gunn, you know what? The pastor told me this book, really good, was written for me, for him, for his fine self. But then what happened? He wrote a book about the Godhead. What a mess. And I tried to help him, but he doesn't want to be helped. You see, that's the problem. People, they are so proud. They think that they know. Let me say this. All the messages that are written, I told the people, you find anything that is wrong, scripturally tell me and prove to me that I'm wrong. Then I will reflect that. But don't come up with your view when there's not even scripture. And you know, in Philippines, let me just show you this chart that we have. That's only last 2 days that I have to review this preaching. You know, some people just, like Paul here said in chapter 3 in the first 2-3 verses, about the concision. They are the mutilator. They come on earth, twist the word of God, twist the truth, and mutilate the truth. Do you remember this song? I taught on the message, I think, 2003. This chart, I draw it, but there are other preachers who also draw somewhat the same chart. Now, a pastor in the Philippines posted this chart on his Facebook page. And people make comment about it. They make comment about this. You know why? I came to know later on that there are a few pastors, I don't mention the name, that actually use about the same chart and predicted and said, many of them, even them, back before 2019, and said that Christ will come 2019. Why 2019? Because they used this year, 120, added up to 2026. Right? So minus 7 years. You know what the 7 years are, right? For the Jew, minus 7 years, so Christ will become 2019. And they even, in the way, prophesied or something like that, that Christ will come. But it didn't come. But just God didn't come. And then they start calling, people start calling so-and-so the false prophet. The problem is, they are preachers, they are so cocksure. When the Bible says nobody knows the time, the day of His coming. But there's one thing that we know what Jesus said, the season that we are living in. Right? We know the hour and the season that we are living in. But we don't know the year, the day, whatever. Nobody knows. Anybody who claims that he knows, he's a liar. So what happened? This pastor posted this, and people come in and make comments. My, what kind of command did they make? It irks me. Because to me, these are the mutilators. They don't know what it says. They don't know what I said. They don't know what the Bible says. They start to cut. They start to say this, say that. See what one of them said. Well, wait a minute. When you look at this chart, is there anything in this chart that says that Christ is coming on such and such a year? Yes or no? No. But people start reading into it, and they think they are smart. See the first, what that preacher said. According to this time clock, this preacher put it on the comment in the Facebook, in that pastor's page. According to this time clock, the Lord will return on 2026 for the judgment of the nations. That's what he said. According to this clock. Okay. I have also known some ministers who have calculated using this clock that the rapture of the bride will happen on 2019, because 2026 minus 7 years of great tribulation equal 2019. Now those ministers claiming are quiet today. Not quite, huh? Spiral wrong. Are quiet today because the rapture never happened on 2019. What some ministers are now claiming is that rapture will happen on 2026. I don't know whether it's true that the ministers are doing, or that he just assumed by the chart. Until now, this minister never learned. And now this preacher, I know him. I'm trying to help him, but in years past. But he's getting too big for his feet. Until now, this minister never learned. They are still calculating the Lord's return. Stop this nonsense already. The Bible is very clear. The rapture is a sudden event. And no one can calculate when would it happen. Let me tell you this. Is a rapture a sudden event? That's what denominations are telling you. And these people are still believing in it. The rapture is not a sudden event. Like the same thing in the first advent of Christ. It's not a sudden event. The parousia. And many of people don't even understand parousia. The word in Greek, because there are preachers out there, a German preacher say that's nonsense, because a cup group in a Christian group misunderstood the word parousia. Because to them, this German minister says parousia means the presence, his sudden appearance there, physically you could see him. No. Soma parousia is when he becomes bodily present. Is God's present with us today? Right now? Did you see him in a physical form? No. Is Christ coming? Christ parousia moving now? Yes. He's still revealing to us. He's still preparing us. Until he is epiphania. Until he appears. Then you can say that becomes a physical purusha. That's a lot of people who don't understand words in the Bible and they think they know. So what do you say? The Bible is very clear. You are up to a sudden event. No one can calculate when it actually happened. Instead of misleading the people with this calculation, we should stick to what the Bible says. Yeah, he can say it. He can say it. But is he really understanding it? Okay, let us go to the next one. I reply. I called him and said, according to this time clock, the law will return on 2026 for the judgment of the nation. That's what he said, right? Did the church say that? Or is it you who are reading into it? Huh? You know Jesus said, watch and pray. Correct? Be watchful. Because we know the time and hour, the season. Let me ask you this question. In the first advent of Christ, how many Jewish people who were expecting Messiah were really watchful? And how many were aware that they were living in that hour? And how many actually saw the Messiah? How many? Simeon. He looked at the baby that went out to the temple and said, oh my. He saw the Messiah. He said, Father, let me go now. Let me sleep now. He was ready. He knew the time. Was it a sudden event? No. That was just a baby. Yeah, there's still the Messiah that was to be. See now, I said this. Did the church say that, or is it you who are reading into it? It is the same with many preachers when they hear hoofbeats. They will jump to the conclusion. They are horses, not zebra. Correct, when you hear, those are horses. How do you know? It could be a herd of caravans. It could be zebra. It could be donkey running. But the problem is that we all have one mind, one-sided issue of understanding something that we so traditionally minded that we don't analyze. There are many preachers who love to read into what they think I wrote in my books. They go around telling others that I teach this and that, twisting my word, mutilating the truth. The Apostle Paul warned the believer in Philippi to be very aware of such concision. Is there any evidence in the chart that says the Lord will return on 2026 for the judgment of the nation? Or are you thinking that implies that year? Do you know the chart when I put 120? Why was it 120? Because 120 is a number that we know we read in the Bible. 3 times, tribulation, 40 times 3. 120, I said, this is the lifespan of a man. He could live up to 120. Huh? Not 70 or 80. That's about it. And nobody said, okay, 2026, the Lord will come. The rapture will take place. I didn't say that. The church never said that. I'm just showing the hour that we live in, how close we are. Is it wrong? They said, it is wrong. This preacher said, it is wrong. We just have to wait for the thunder to come. How are you going to know the thunder comes? You just sit down and wait for the thunders? We need to be watchful and move on. And I say this one thing very clearly. If you do not know the word, do not know how to discern any wisdom and understanding what is going on, you think you just simply get the thunder to come to your house or meet you on the bus or the train just because you are an anti-message believer? There's something that is happening. That's how we talk about the revival right now. Right? God is getting us up. If we cannot bring and embrace the word in full and act upon the word, so when the thunder actually comes, walk beside you one day, you're going along the street and here were 2 men come and say, hi, how are you doing? You know, they're strangers. And then they start to say something. Maybe one of them says something, the other one says something, and they walk away. You know, don't you recognize what they'll be saying? Like some? Remember Jesus on the way to Emmaus? To Emmaus? And joined those two disciples. And he was talking and they were just wondering, they don't know about what's happening in the last few days, you know. And they couldn't recognize Jesus, right? Jesus was talking, huh? They couldn't recognize. I mean, they were told a stranger, unless they sit down, they have a meal. And then Jesus took the bread and he broke it. The moment he broke that bread, their eyes were open. So, what is bread? The breaking of the word of God. Now, you're telling me that the Son of Thunder is going to come to your house and have bread and break bread? No. The word that will be spoken, like right now here, I'm breaking bread. Right? We are breaking bread here. We are eating the bread of the word of God. So that's important how to discern. So the Bible talks about the spirit of wisdom and discernment and understanding and revelation. See, the year 2020 says to show where we are in the hour and season of the second advent. Christ may come. 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028, or 2033. Or maybe 33. Ha! Huh. You know, I asked them one of them a question. People sing a song. He's coming soon. Okay, next one. Hello, Brother Gant. Yeah, he's written to me, huh? He said, hello, Brother Gant. Ah, so you're not sure about the exact hour of the season of the Lord's return. And this chart may not be accurate. Thank you for clarifying that. This also tells us that we should not put our trust in this calculation. And we all know that anything that is not of faith is sin. Why do you bring up this verse? You know, the Bible talks about that which is not of faith is sin. Well, why do you bring this verse up? By putting on the chart, you expect me to say that the chart tells. He's assuming or presuming to say that because of, I put up the chart, I must believe that Christ is coming 2026. By not believing, that means there's no faith and it's a sin. You know what I'm saying? And yet, people are saying he's coming soon, he's coming soon. And then we have the other somebody in court, he may come morning, night, or noon. Right? Why are we singing that song? We shouldn't be singing, right? Because we're also assuming he's coming maybe in morning or night or noon. Correct. So we shouldn't be singing that song. You see, that's what I call a conceited mutilator who assume a lot of things what people put out there. Okay, let me continue and see the next one. Am I calculating or am I showing the hour and seasons we are living in? You have been reading into people's words and trust just to want to debate and argue just to prove you are smarter. Yeah, there are some brothers who told me that this preacher do that, likes to do that. And you are even taking scripture out of context to prove your point. Well, at least I finally see the person that you are. I need to tell you this. Do not be wise in your own conceit. That's the last time you will hear from me. I don't want to waste my time with such foolishness. Think about it. You know, I didn't want to get into Facebook. Remember I told you how I got into Facebook? I got messed up and I leave it. I don't want to. And then one day on the bus, came hand camera for the church. And then I said, I have to sign to Facebook or what, Google account, whatever. Okay, I just got into Facebook. All right, everything is still there. And I have signed in. And then somebody said, well, come back for the grant. Well, you know what? I guess it's God's will. I went back, posted an article, and I could see actually the Lord wanted to expose this so-called wise preacher. Yes. And I had to put something to show that this is the same preacher who believed that Jesus Christ is born of the egg of Mary. And the argument that went on. So what Paul said over in chapter 3, that is so true. In verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of false worker. Beware of the concession. And, oh, we swear the one that is true, we are circumcised, not just talking about the Jew, but here today you apply to those with the entire message who think that they are already having the revelation. How many people, I was wondering, all this year that I have been around the world. You know, the first time when I went to Zimbabwe, my brother, brother James Redmond, called me to visit. He picked me up at the airport. You know what? We took the bus, the public bus. No car. I don't know where I'm going. So he took me to his home, have a simple meal. Then he took me down to the brother's home. Well, I told you, right, about these big spiders in the room. And all the time, I would just say, okay, I was just being normal, you know. There was a task to me, and the brother James said, they made him to realize, this is a preacher that's not like those who always want the comfort. You know what I mean? On a 5-star hotel or whatever. And he would just accept what is given. There was one time when I went to the Philippines. That was the first time that I went to the Philippines. Oh no, the first time, second time. I went to Manila. The first time I went down to South straight away. But that was in Manila. They put me up in a hotel. So because the brother put me in a hotel, I don't know where, you know what I mean? What kind of hotel was that? I told him, no, you don't put me in a... I don't have the money. Just put me in a simple lodging house. So he brought me there. I don't know what kind of area it was, okay? Then the later, all these men start coming and visit me in the room. Then some of them say, this is not a good hotel. You put the brother again here. You know? So anyway, we were talking and preaching. Somebody opened the door. Then I was talking and stood off. Said, close the door. Then he said, oh, brother, that's a woman, huh? You know what? That's a prostitute. Then while I was still talking, another one come. Same thing. Then the letter on the blood went downstairs, had the owner, please don't send any, you know, they just go to the hotel, you know, ask for any new guest, something they go up in. So he told the owner, please don't get any girl to come up to this room. Okay, after they depart, I have my snack, whatever, and put on the table. Just a small little room, not very clean anyway, it's okay. You know, when I wake up, I put to my snack. It was ripped apart by rats. So, oh my goodness. So I'm living in the hood. So what to do? And then the brother said, one of the brother, they told me, so brother, you come and live, come and stay with me in my home. He's a Chinese brother, and he buys and sells garments. He bought garments. And he said, okay, but brother, I have no room. It's a storeroom. He said, okay. A storeroom. So I stayed in the storeroom with all the bills and clothing. You know, the bed is there, so it was a storeroom I lived in. I stayed. That's okay. Next time when I went, he said, come and stay with us. It's okay. Now he put me in the room with his two sons. And I couldn't believe, I almost freezed to death because the aircraft was on. The student was actually wearing winter clothes and sleeping in the aircraft that was so freezing. I tell you, well, you know, I go along with them to the convention's over and go home. You see, that's how it is, you know. The Lord put me on a trial and people are watching. What are your dogs to say? Brother, put me into 5-star hotel or 4-star hotel, you know. But all those years until, I don't know what year there was, that there are more believers coming to the message from a hotel, a 5-star hotel. They work in a 5-star hotel, one of them is a security officer, a chief security officer. The other one is a lady, a sister who is a HR officer. So Barnone said, but again, all you have to do is get to this hotel, 5-star hotel, 5-star hotel, I don't even know, maybe 5-star, more than that. And just pay a star price. Oh, the discount was so great, I just paid $40 only. Wow, I stayed there. And then next time, my brother Jonah went with me, then the staff said, well, I'll bring you to the penthouse. This guy was jumping, hey! I said, no! burn out. What do you want to burn out? That's too bad with you. You know, and only that, with the price that we paid, we have international buffet. International, I mean breakfast for buffet. Buffet for breakfast. And you know how they close at 11 o'clock, last dishing, huh? Last whatever you take, you know? So you know what I do? I always go there. 10:30, I went down slowly, you know? So I collect the food, eat, half of it, finish by 11 o'clock. Last call, so I went take 11 before they close. So I had brunch. So I don't have to pay extra. So I went full. So that's what I said to my husband. So that was the blessing that I had when those brothers were working there. You know, but now I think they're no longer there, I guess, in the church. So there was some problem, the halal trial, and the church is going through for many years. So I pray that you understand, you know, I'm contented, like Paul. We want the Lord to give it to me, the joy that I have in those years. You know, the ups and downs. You know, going to other country, taking the public bus, not a car. Yeah, I remember I told you once when I was in Zambia, I think it was Zambia, we took the bus home, bus back. It was quite a long journey. And you don't believe me, you know, in Africa, you go about a bus with all the basket and chicken and that and whatever. Huh? And the whole bus in the aisle just full of luggage. You just can't actually walk. So I was sitting behind and the African guy was looking at me, all the Musungu, the white people, you know, I'm not white, actually, I told them many times. Sit down there and look at me. It's a long journey. So I have my snack, beef jerky, you know, Chinese beef jerky. So I just took one piece and everybody looking at me. Yeah, I saw them look at me. The way their eye looked at me, he says, can I have some? Okay, you have some. Other than that, so the half of the plane, the half of the back seat of the bus, every one of them enjoying it, you know, and just, that's almost, my thing was gone, you know. But that is getting used to know these people. That's one thing about it. To really know the people, travel. Go interior. You know, you suffered, yes, you don't have comfort. Not like you boast about, I went to all so many countries in the world, you go to the 5-star hotel, you engage, I mean, you rented a seminar room and got a minister to come, you got the churches to come, and that is not an apostle. Go out where the sinners are. That's what T.R. Osborne said. Out where the sinners are, not in the hotel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, O Lord. We thank you. Thank you for thy word. Thank you for contentment, Father, of what we have, and the joy and unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, Lord, the truth, what we have, the word, what we have, is the joy we receive. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what the word is all about. You grant us the joy, give us the strength, Father, to hold on to what we have received from you, the light, the truth, the life, the grace, all that is in Christ. And we are all pressing forward, Father, to attain to these things. As even Christ got a hold of us, Father. And we want to hold to the same and not let it go. Until all that which is fulfilled in us, Father, come to the place of maturity. We thank you, Lord. So, Father, we ask for your grace, for your blessing, in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.